yes, miss?
Horses.
Okay, which of those, what do you think?
Tigers.
What do you think, Leah? Mountain lions. Those are ones that we have around, aren't they? How funny would it be if we saw a mountain lion that skipped excitedly down the road? That'd be pretty goofy, right?
Yes.
What if it was excited to see you and it was skipping down the road?
That'd be
pretty cool, right? What if we saw a giraffe that was happily hopping up and down? How crazy would that be, you guys? And you know what? God had the power to create all of the things like that. Okay, he created giraffes, and he created them to do what they do. So friends, here I want, and you know, all the variety in our world just shows us how creative God is. And I want us to pray before church. So would you please show me that respectful attitude of prayer? Folded hands, closed eyes, and bowed heads. God, thank you that you are the creator. Thank you for making everyone in this room and everyone who isn't with us. And thank you for making lions and T-Rexes and horses and tigers and mountain lions. What else should God think? What else should we thank God for making, friends?
Cheetahs.
What else? Elephant.
test, 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 test.
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm coming. Good to see you all. We had to pull the Band-Aid off sometime, and we pulled it off this morning. It was just cold and rainy and windy when we got here, and we made the call kind of actually last night that we were just going to move everything inside today. That's been our plan all the way along, so it'll probably be this way next Sunday because the long-range forecast isn't that promising either. So here we are. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church on this Sunday, September 27th, time of worship. We invite you back again next Sunday at 10 a.m. Again, we'll probably be inside because, like I said, the long-range forecast isn't that promising either. We do have Communion Sunday next week, so we will be passing out those individual little cups that are sealed. And for those of you who are listening in the parking lot, we will bring some out to you if you want to sit out in the car and take Holy Communion with us. We would love that. So, of course, if you wish to stay in your vehicle and take the service in the parking lot in your car, then our FM station is 90.5. So we'll even bring a hymnal out to you if you want it, if you want to sing along in your car. I mean, you do it anyway when you sing along with the radio, right? So you might as well sing along with the folks in the church here. And we're not supposed to have public singing, but again, you're talking through your Mass, so if you can maybe talk your way through the hymn, that would be okay too. Or hum. All right. We had our first indoor Sunday school. We had it outdoors last week because the weather was permitting, but today it was a different story. So we've got the kids socially spaced and with masks on in the fellowship hall. They're spread out, and so I think it went pretty well. Also, thanks to everyone who helped in every way with the Fall Bazaar yesterday. We made another memory, a 2020 memory. It was different. We had the bazaar outside under tents. We needed it because it was trying to rain. But again, it was a very successful bazaar, so thanks to everyone who donated and helped and in every way. It was just great to continue to do that. Today, we anchor ourselves in our Lord's forgiveness and His presence with us in this really strange journey through 2020, but He's with us all the way. He's in the boat with us, folks, and He's not going to leave us or forsake us, and we're comforted to that. We open our service today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're using the green hymnal today, so our first hymn is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And again, don't sing, that's forbidden, but if you want to talk, you can do that too. Hymn number 293 in the green hymnal, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Sinking sand. When darkness
Our call to worship is found in the book of Psalm 25, verses 1 through 7. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Let us pray. We pray for the suffering. O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress that, whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen. The next hymn that we'll be singing and playing is hymn number 499 in the Green Hymnal, hymn titled, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing.
Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. We are a bunch of wanderers, aren't we? We wander away from God on a daily basis. We sin. But we connect with being a debtor to God's grace. Because when we stand before him and claim the promise that is in our liturgy this morning, the promise from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And let's claim that promise today together, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Here's God's promise from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise today together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith. The confession, the ancient creed of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
By quoting this proverb about the land of Israel, the parents eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel, for everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life, because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them. That person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. There are many ways Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? It is not your ways that are unjust. Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by coming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The word of the Lord. We pray for guidance. O Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our society, grant, O Lord God, that your holy and life-giving spirit may move in every heart in the midst of our society's current unrest. May the barriers which divide us crumble. May our suspicions and hatreds disappear, and that with our divisions healed, we might live in justice and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For help in the pandemic, keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, John. It was good to have one of our scripture readers up here today. That's going to be our new norm for a while. Do I have a scripture reader for next Sunday? Maybe we can close the deal right now. Okay. We got Linda over there, so thank you. So it's good to get back to a little semblance of normal. Yeah, we're socially distanced. We've got masks on, but we're here together. So I love the reading in Ezekiel and Philippians. really speaking of faith as something personal. And as habit, we just covered this question today in confirmation class, question 124 in Luther's Small Catechism. Why do we say, I believe, and not we believe, in each of the three articles of the Apostles' Creed? Answer, we say, I believe, because faith is personal. No one can be saved by someone else's faith. And as Ezekiel told us that we can't be judged for somebody else's sins, it's us. And in the same way, Philippians, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Faith is personal, but there's power. And this is one of my favorite questions in the catechism. There's such a cool power when we all say it together. I. That's a bunch of individuals agreeing on something. That doesn't always happen in our culture these days, but it happens in the church. Praise be to God. Well, one of the things that are still not normal are the children's sermon. We have to keep the kids in the pews, but kids, someday. This is pretty normal, though, me taking my coat off before I preach. All right. Well, as we come before God's word this morning, let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is spirit. And we pray as we encounter it today that your Holy Spirit may enlarge our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us from your word. We ask this in the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, fall always takes me back to my childhood and my mother's love of baking pies. How many of you have baked like an apple pie recently? Oh, yeah. Pies are good. I love pie. There's no such thing as bad pie, just some better than others. That's my philosophy. I remember how we would wait at our house for those pies to be baked until that special occasion when we got to eat it. Now, my mom always had leftover pie dough, and so that meant that she would produce some pie crust cookies. They weren't much. They were just leftover pie crust sprinkled with sugar and cinnamon. But thankfully, my mother, being a child of the Great Depression, let nothing go to waste, even when making pies. So when she baked her pie, she would take the leftover pie dough, flatten it out, cut it into pieces, and voila, pie crust cookies. They kind of helped lessen the pain while we waited to eat the actual pie. But there's a cliche, a pie crust promise. If you've ever watched Mary Poppins, you know that she tells, I think it's William, that's a pie crust promise. What does that mean? Well, a pie crust promise is a promise that's easily made and easily broken, right? Anyone who's raised children knows of this phenomenon. Cute as it may be to hear a child make a promise we know they can never keep in hope of getting something they want from us, I wonder if this is how we sometimes sound to God when we are at times prayerfully bargaining with him over things we want. We've all done it, let's be honest. We will see in our text for today from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus telling a parable. Telling a parable to a group of men who were in the habit of making pie crust promises to God. He told this parable to them because they had only really fooled themselves by making these easily made, easily broken promises. They were convinced that in God's eyes they were far superior to the people around them, and that was their problem, not their cure. Yes, it was easy for them to compare themselves to people whose lifestyles took away any chance of pretending to be religious. Yet, these people were drawn to Jesus, drawn to his invitation to enter God's kingdom through repentance and faith, not through works that they could never produce. No pie crust promises were allowed with them, just honesty before God about sin and a humble acceptance of his forgiveness. And for those who thought they could get in some other way, Jesus told this parable. Now, when the pie crust theologians had had enough of Jesus threatening their crumbly and flaky theology, especially his teaching and everyone needed to repent and kind of be accountable individually for their own sins, as we heard in Ezekiel today, they specifically challenged his authority. They challenged his authority to invite people who were known sinners into God's kingdom. In a manner so typical of our Lord, he told them the parable of the regretful son so that they might understand the important role that regret and repentance plays when we come before God. Thus the title of our message today, Good Regret. From Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32, the parable of the regretful son. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then the man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, I will, sir. But then he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. Ouch. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him. The end of the parable, the end of Jesus' confrontation, the word of the Lord. Now, let's take a few moments to step back and try to understand this parable, what's going on here. First of all, as is my habit of doing with parables, let's talk about what this parable does not teach. It does not teach that repentance is a work that I can reproduce by my own efforts. We actually talked about this today in confirmation too. The classic Lutheran expression for this is if you find yourself believing. Like if I ask you, do you believe in Jesus? And you say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Guess what? You didn't arrive at that point by your own. That's the Holy Spirit that created that faith in you. So you literally found yourself believing. Like, hey, I do believe that. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to create that faith in you. So we know that this parable doesn't teach that repentance and faith are produced by my efforts. Rather, like the repentance and faith of the tax collectors and the prostitutes, it's produced by the Holy Spirit through God's call to repent from sin and believe in his forgiveness. Jesus told this parable to explain the heavenly source of John's baptism. It was a good idea to do this too. So let's take a look at John the Baptist for a moment here. If we go back to Matthew chapter 3, we read this. Now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. So when they heard the message that John preached, they were given the faith to repent. And this, of course, is a truth that the Bible teaches, that repentance and faith are created by God's Spirit through his word. Take a look at what Romans 10:17 says. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And then Paul says again in Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So now that we've got that straight, we can venture into the parable a little bit deeper. The son who said yes, but acted no. He represents those who wanted to look outwardly religious, but inwardly would not accept God's authority to call them to repentance, because their stock and trade, their pie crust promise theology said, we're better than everybody else. God surely loves us because of that. Well, you don't compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to God and his standard, the law. And that's perfect, as Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So there's God's standard. It's not Joe Schmo over here who's having trouble in life. It's God himself. So These outwardly religious men wanted to be viewed as saying yes to God, but they refused to act on their own struggle with sin and their need for repentance. But when John the Baptist saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him for baptism, we read in Matthew 3, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance." What is that fruit? An acknowledgement that I'm a sinner. That's what the law does. It's like a big mirror. We did this in confirmation class to do. I should have had you all come to confirmation class today. We could have got this done in short order. The law is like a mirror. It shows us who we really are. So, application questions right now. First question, can I identify with promising God a yes and delivering a no? Oh, yes, we can. We're all kind of hypocrites. You've heard me say this before, but when I encounter someone out there and I'm talking to them about the Lord and they say, well, I don't like to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. And I usually say, well, there's room for one more. Come on in. We're all hypocrites. We're all sinners. We're not trying to pretend to be anything else. That's why we confess our sins every Sunday. Next question. Can I meet the total demand of God's expectations of me? Do I love God with all my heart and my neighbor as myself? No. That's, again, what the law shows us. Now, we might be able to fool ourselves that I really do love God with all of my heart, but if we look at how we treat our fellow humans, we'll realize, oh, I fall short there. And if we're really honest, we don't love God the way we should either. We always put things ahead of him. So we're sinners. Next question. Do I struggle with God's authority over my life? I do. We are bent in ourselves, as Luther said. We're going to struggle with this till the day we die. We're always trying to be like God, the original sin of the garden, where Satan said, if you eat this apple, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So there's the temptation. We always want to say, move over, God. I've got this. Last question. I'm sorry. These are painful, but is there more than a little bit of outwardly religious in me? Probably. I want people to look at me, and I even want you to like the way I preach and like me to, you know, as your pastor. I'm a fallen creature, too. I want approval. We all do. But let's take a look at the other son. The son who said no, but then acted yes. The refusal of the rebellious son is blunt, rude, without a trace of respect. Those are the words of C.H. Lenski, a New Testament commentator, and he's right on. It's very matter-of-fact in the Greek. No. That's often the first word our children learn, isn't it? They get that down pretty fast. His blunt refusal represented the outwardly in-your-face lifestyles of the tax gatherers and the prostitutes. They weren't pretending to be anybody but who they were. But, this rude, blunt son who said no regretted his refusal of his father. The word regret here, metamelomai, is an internal attitude, to be sorry after an action. His conscience was stricken. And his regret started in his heart, and then it manifested itself in an outward action. And that outward action brought him back into the Father's will. So here we have it, the parable that teaches us about regret, faith, and God's acceptance. So is God looking for regret? Well, this is what Psalm 51 says. David, who knew a little bit about regret and sin and repentance, he said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Yes, God is looking for good regret. The regretful change of heart represented the tax gatherers and the prostitutes, who were confronted by John's message of repentance and drawn to Jesus for his gifts of forgiveness and righteousness. We read this from the mouth of Jesus in our text today. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. So the good news for us this morning: Jesus came for regretters. If you're regretting your sin this morning, Jesus came for you. He wants you. If you're not, he came for you anyway. An earlier statement by Jesus: the Pharisees said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax gatherers and the sinners?" And of course, Jesus' response is classic. It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Matthew chapter 9. Beautiful passage. So let's talk a little bit about good regret. It's not often something we think about as good. If Jesus came to heal sinners, should I act like I have no sin? Obviously not. Should I avoid him because of my sin? No. You shouldn't avoid the doctor if you're sick either. Jesus came for that. So in my struggle with sin, I should not see my regret as a barrier to Jesus, but anticipate his reach for me and his embrace of me. I often think I have to do something for God, but what he wants is my regret. He does all the healing in Christ. Praise be to God. That's what we see when we look at the cross, my friends. The guarantee that God accepts your regret. He accepts you as a sinner, and he sent his son to live, to die, and to rise again for you. To God be the glory. Let us pray. God of grace, my Savior, my sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive my lips that tremble your name, what my heart can no longer bear and what has become a barrier between us. Lord, take that and forgive it. I offer it to you today. Set me free from the past that I cannot change. Open me to the future in which you change me. Give me the grace to grow more and more into the person you died and rose for me to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer. One of the great gifts of the gospel that we are given so freely is prayer. And let's take a little time right now and pray for those who need our intercession, and we will pray for ourselves also. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we lift up those who are not with us today, who may be sick, who may be infirmed, who may just be stuck in the house and lonely. Lord, you know who they are, and we lift them up to you. We pray for your healing. We pray for your encouragement. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also lift up those who are out in our world working for us. We think of the medical personnel who are on the front line of this pandemic, who still have to go home and be mom or dad or brother or sister or son or daughter. Lord, watch over them, keep them safe, and keep their families safe. We pray also for those who work out in our open society, who provide us with opportunities to buy groceries and gasoline and building supplies and get our medicines, Lord. They are putting themselves out there too, and so watch over them and their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We've got a lot to be thankful for. God accepts our regret. He accepts our sin and forgives it, and we praise him for that. Let's do that together as we turn in our green hymnals or direct our attention up front to hymn number 565, Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. 565. I don't think this one is on the screen, so you'll have to find it in the hymnal.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Would you please rise and receive the Lord's blessing? May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God.